yesterday. And I appreciate everybody here this morning. I thank the Lord for all he's done for us. And I don't know the hearts of folk on a high end today. Some of you are here just because somebody was mad at you to be here. Some of you are here because you want to get a good meal or you want to hear a good song. But what you need to be here is for the preaching hour.
Hey.
Randy is a friend of us, ours, for a long, long time. We've appreciated his work in the ministry. And of everything you hear, you're going to need to hear the gospel. There are some here, I'm sure, that are not saved. They don't know what they've been rescued from. But if they die right now, they're going to find out what they could have been rescued from. And while you think, well, that's just a bunch of the way you believe things, well, we're only believing what God has written.
Amen.
You don't think that's right, then you take it up with God. I pray you allow the Holy Ghost to work in your heart and get out of this, not just a belly filled, but a living water flowing out of your belly from the Lord Jesus Christ and the word that we have before. So I'll hush here. I'll let Brother Randy come. We appreciate his work and his ministry. We'll have more to say through the coming week on him. All right, thank you, Pastor. Brother, that's a blessing. Looking forward to hearing you after an active meal. A lot of folk want to eat and leave. You don't want to eat and leave this. Amen. Just whet your appetite real good. Appreciate these brethren, the testimony. I love the Lord. You know, we came through Nashville and it's built on the country music and all kind of other music, world of music. But I'm glad when God saved me, he put a song in my heart, even new praise unto God. When I got saved, everything changed in my life, and I had a new appetite for what the Lord wanted to do for me and a new appetite of what he's going to do. All right, I want you to turn this morning, if you will, please, over to Romans chapter number 5, book of Romans chapter number 5. And we're going to look in some scripture here, and I hope you'll be planning on coming back this week. There'll be every excuse in the book that the devil will throw at you. And I believe that the Lord's coming. I really do. And I believe if you're going to serve God, if you're going to get right with God, you better get on with it. Because if Jesus comes and you're left behind, it's going to be awful. You see, some folk got the attitude, well, if he comes, then I'll get saved. The Bible says if you've known the truth and you've rejected it, when Christ comes, you'll be damned into believing a lie. You'll be sent strong delusion. That word strong delusion literally means your mind is going to blow. The trump sound right now, and God's people headed out of here. All you saw was a bunch of clothes and glasses and fillings and maybe a few other parts left behind that we won't need in heaven. And you look or you go crazy. You go literally start raving crazy. And that's why the Lord says if you have known the truth and you reject the truth, you'd be damned into believing a lie. So, don't have that attitude in your mind. Well, if Christ comes, then I'll get saved. No, you better get saved before he comes. So you'll be prepared to meet him. All right, let's stand this morning, and we'll reverence God's word together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to read that verse out loud with me this morning. If you will, let's read it together. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is established, it's unchangeable, and it is eternal. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation that you've gathered here this morning. I ask you that you might quicken us together according to your loving kindness. God, I pray that you'll move upon this people. Lord, may our ears be open and our hearts be receptive to that which you would say. God, have your will in your way. And Lord, give us meditation and wisdom as to what and how to say. In Jesus' name we plead the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The word therefore is used many different times in the book of Romans. And It literally starts another section of what the Lord's teaching and what the Lord's doing. And when we come to chapter number 5, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Janelle, if you understand justification by faith, I want you to know that you have peace with God on that basis or on those grounds. Now, that word therefore is not the word wherefore. It always leads us back to that which has been said. Now, how in the world are we going to be justified before God? Brother Job asked this question. How can a man be just before God? Just means to be declared righteous. God being a holy God, he's a God of all knowledge. He knows your down sittings, your uprisings. He knows your thoughts before you think of. He's got the very hairs on your head numbered and all the hairs that used to be on your head numbered. Amen. He knows all about you. And how can such a holy God, in him there is no darkness, in him there is no sin, in him there is no unrighteousness, how can such a holy God look at you and say, I declare you righteous? Well, first of all, we have to understand that we're all unrighteous. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 3, and this word therefore puts us back to this, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's you, that's me, that's everybody. And in chapter number 1 in the book of Romans, he explains why the testimony is that we're all unrighteous. Come back to Romans chapter number 1. He tells us about our unrighteousness and what God thinks of it. Brother Billy Sunday used to say, you old sinner, you, the reason you don't like the Bible is it knows all about you. And the Bible will find you out. It's a discerner between thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a book that will reach into the very depths of the souls of men and read your case. Oh, you can dress up, smell up, and look good, come to church, and, walk the dog, as we say, and it looks like everything's all right. God sees the inward man. He sees the heart, and he knows where we're living at, and he knows where we're at. And he reads that in the Bible and reveals to us our unrighteousness. Now, in chapter number 1, in verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now, God tells you what he thinks about unrighteousness. He says the wrath of God is extended toward that. The Bible says he that believeth not is condemned already. I know that we've got preachers like Smiley Joe and the largest congregation in the nation. No, Larry King, all the rest of that crowd, we just don't preach any condemnation. When he told him that, I said to myself, Joe, you just might as well take your pocket knife and chop John chapter number 3 out. Because Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. And it's not that we're condemning anybody. I'm not condemning anybody this morning. It's God that Amen. Condemns. Amen. It's God that says sin is wrong. It's God that established it. By the way, he has the right to do this since he created all things. Since all things literally belong to him, I think he has the right to rule his universe how he pleases. Amen. And God, being a holy God, said, this is the testimony of who I am. And when Isaiah saw him in Isaiah 6, he cried, the angels were crying around the throne day and night, holy, holy, holy. That means God is sinless. He's perfect. He's without darkness. He's without any unrighteousness or wrong. And the very essence of his character is the essence of the law of heaven. And in order for you to get to heaven, you're going to have to be as holy and as righteous as God. Well, we understand, first of all, that we're not. And because we're not, God said, here's the sentence that my wrath is hanging over you. Talked to a lawyer the other day. He said, yeah, I said, I used to be a Baptist, but said, I moved over to the Presbyterian. They got their woman pastor and their liberals all get out and all that. He said, I just couldn't believe it in hell. I said, so you just believe in part of John 3:16? He said, no, I believe. I said, no, you just believe part of it. Because the Bible said, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And I said, what's that perishing all about? That perishing is the severe judgment of a righteous and a holy God upon sin. And sin will be punished. Sin will be brought into reckoning according to the Bible, according to who God is. And every one of us are going to have to stand before God. Now, the scientists, the doctors, the medical field, all this crowd over here in Nashville and Vanderbilt, they've never found a cure for death. And the reason they've never found a cure for death is the wages of sin is death. I don't believe God. Look at the graveyard. I don't believe God. Has anybody been able to pass by? No, God set that sentence up. You're going to face it, and I am going to face it. And after death, the Bible says the same God that declared the sentence of sin, or judgment on sin, that a man would stand before Almighty God and give an account of himself. Now, you may dodge jury duty. You may get out of being a witness somehow. You may cancel a doctor's appointment, but you're not going to cancel this appointment, because the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. You say, I've got plenty of time, I'm healthy and all that. Priest at the Calvary Baptist Church in Kingston, Tennessee, and a priest of the Christian school on Tuesday, a priest there Monday. On Tuesday, a little girl was taken by ambulance to the hospital. Her head was hurting. She got a severe brain tumor. She didn't even know what she had, and she's at the point of death, and she's like 7, 8 years old. That fast. We had two young men in Roswell, North Carolina. The high school quarterback and another guy, they were at a party, got on an ATV, and they headed back down Balsam Grove to the house. And the thing slid off the road. They were going fast and hit a tree, killed them both. Decapitated one of them, stuck limbs through the other one, killed them instantly, just like that. And we're talking about juniors and seniors in high school that thought, I've got all my life ahead of me. Just the day before yesterday, my friend Larry Kinsley, his mom had gone to the Dollar General to pick up some milk. They left Dollar General and headed down the road, minding their own business. A truck came on the other side, just hauling equipment, and it hit a car, slammed that car, T-boned them, and then pushed them into a tree. His mom died this morning. Brother Larry's got 9 broke ribs, and he's broke up. Just a little trip to the dollar store. You say, oh, preacher, I've got plenty of time. Do you really? I don't know the stories that I know of where a brain aneurysm. My grandma was cooking, getting ready for a homecoming meal just like this. And she sneezed, and when she did, it burst a blood vessel in her brain. And she died that evening. Heart attacks, strokes, all these things can happen. And there's 10 million ways that God can come after you. And he can bring you into his judgment bar. And you're not going to be able to bypass that. And the Lord's already told you what the sentence is going to be. If you stand before him lost without God, he says, my wrath is going to be extended upon you. Notice what he said, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God said, I put something in man called the conscience. And that conscience says, when that preacher's a preaching, he's right, he's telling you the truth. There's something in the back of your mind that says, he's not pulling your leg, he's not playing games this way. He's telling you the truth. You better work up and listen to it. And you will try to shut that conscience up. The conscience is like your dog. You got him tied in the backyard. You feed him. You take care of it. About 2 o'clock in the morning, that dog, whoa, 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 whoa. You get up, walk to the back door. He goes in the dog house. You turn around, go back, lay back down. And you take a stick and throw it at him. I said, shut up. That dog, whoa, whoa. After a while, you shut up. And all the time that thief's over there behind that tree was fixing to come into your house, then. I'm glad he shut that dog up. The devil comes but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. He's after you, and he's after me. But God gives you a little old barking dog in the back of your mind that goes off. He says, hey, that's not right. That's not right. There's an enemy out there. Something's wrong with this. We shouldn't be doing this. And you're shot. I'll do what I want to. Leave me alone. And after a while, that dog's going to go back in the doghouse. And the Bible talks about having a seared conscience and then a reprobate conscience. That word seared, if you cut your finger off on the table saw and boy, blood's, you take a hot iron and put it on that. Sear that skin. And boy, they used to do that a lot in the old days when they didn't have other means than we've got today. And that seared skin would cauterize it and stop it from bleeding. But as a result, you lose all feeling in that. You can lose feeling in your conscience. Oh, I'm old hard preaching. Don't bother me. Yeah. Huh, honey, I'll go down there and eat that man. Preacher ain't gonna, he ain't gonna get under my skin. Probably because you've seared your conscience. Then the Bible talks about a reprobate conscience. A reprobate means the inability to make a proper moral choice. And in America, our consciousness are being reprobated. When a man don't know which bathroom to go in, he's got a reprobate conscience. When a person don't know that it's a sin to kill a baby right before it's born, and he can tag it as abortion, he's got a reprobate conscience. When we have things going on in our nation, like it's happening in our nation, and people see no wrong with it whatsoever. Matter of fact, if you stand for the word of God, now they call you the wicked one, the unrighteous one. They call good evil, and they call evil good. And the reason being is because they've seared that conscience, and now that conscience is reprobate. When God turns a nation over to a reprobate mind, then he'll let them do the things that they want to do. He'll allow them to go. You want it? You want it? Oh, give us a king, God. Give us a king, God. Satan said, you don't want a king. He's going to tax you. He's going to send your boys into war. You're not going to like it. Give us a king. Give us a king. Give us a king. Satan said, all right. That's what you want. They got it. They didn't want what they got. You can get what you want, but you may not want what you got.
Amen.
The Lord says, it's manifest in me. Verse 20, he said, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God said, I put enough of my signature and my copyright in nature that if you're honest, you have to know there is a God.
Amen.
Last Sunday, I preached in a church, and I left camp and went across the Blue Ridge Parkway, went up to Mount Pisgah, and I just sat there at the Pisgah Inn and just looked out over that vast stretch of the Blue Ridge Mountains. People came by sitting on a bench, and they'd sit by me and all that. And I'd say, you know, isn't it hard to look out at all this and just think that it evolved? Came out of a big blowout, a big bang, a big bluey. Amen. I said, there's somebody got shoes. They didn't just grow up out like a mushroom in the midnight. Somebody made those shoes. Somebody made that watch. Somebody made that automobile. God said, I put enough in creation for you to know that there is a God. I know in our colleges today, the secular outfits, they use all kind of terms and jargons and different long philosophies to try to teach that we're just the product of Mother Monkey and Daddy Baboon. But I like in the beginning God created a whole lot better than in the beginning Big Bang that blew out of nothing by the look of the chinks and the look of the draw. And because he is the creator God, he said, I put it in creation so much so that when you stand before me, oh God, God, I didn't know there was a God. God said, I don't receive that evidence. Let me just drop you back and let's rewind the tape a little bit. You remember watching that beautiful snow cover those mountains? You remember seeing me as I took my paintbrush and painted all these leaves? You remember watching National Geographic going down into the depths of the ocean and beholding all those individual creatures? You don't remember every morning getting up, looking in the east, that big golden ball called the sun rising, and every day faithful. You don't remember growing up that it was hot in the summertime. Then you start looking out, and you see that poplar tree's leaves turning yellow, and they're falling out. And here comes fall. And then here comes the coldness of winter. And a global warming crowd said, oh, we're going to die. It's going to be a big ice freeze over the world. We're going in. But then the daffodils popped their head up about April, May, April, and the things begin to change. And the Canadian geese, they fly back from Florida, headed up north, honking, saying, the season's changing, the season's changing. Don't you remember I told you in my word that from the beginning there would be seed time, there'd be harvest, there'd be winter, there'd be summer, there'd be heat, there'd be cold, there'd be the changing of the seasons. And every year that testifies there is a God. There is a God. There is a God. God said, I'm not going to receive that excuse. I just didn't know. No. He said, I put that as an evidence to you. Amen. Then in verse 21, he said, because that when they knew God, well, there's a God. He's a creator God. But then when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. And then they became unthankful. Well, because you are God, you let me exist on your planet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting me exist. And then he said they become vain in their imagination. They start, well, there's a God. Well, let me see, what kind of God do I want him to be? Now, the radio preacher the other day preaching along, he said, now, the kind of God we need is, he went into a big spiel, and the kind of God we need is, you don't make the kind of God you need or you want him to be is. I go to Indian preach, and they got 3 million gods and goddesses. Anything moves, don't move. Anything that there is, they just put them on the shelf and they worship it as God because their vain imagination says, well, this is God, that is God. We don't have to wonder in our imagination who God is because God took time to write a Bible and give you the ability to have that Bible. And in that Bible, it reveals who God is. It said, because they became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. If your heart is darkened this morning, if you've got where you just can't receive the truth, there's more darkness than physical darkness. There is a spiritual darkness. Pharaoh, let my people go, Moses said. His magicians threw their rods down. They became serpents just like Moses, but then Moses' serpent ate up their serpent. Let my people go. No way. The Nile River turns to blood and begin to stink. Let my people go. And he kept hardening his heart. And finally, about that fourth time, the Bible says God hardened his heart. Pharaoh said, no, no, no. God said, all right. So darkness came on old Pharaoh. The Bible says that God turned him over to that reprobate mind and the darkness was upon him. I talked to a fellow in the store the other day, witnessing to him, and I could tell he had a reprobate mind. He wasn't receiving anything of the Word of God. He didn't believe the Bible, didn't believe God, didn't want nothing to do with it whatsoever. And I thought that Jesus said to the Pharisees, great is that darkness. Preached a meeting in Florida several years ago. This young fella came. He's out of a hippie-style background. He's sort of a fella that was self-made and all that, had his own philosophies and everything. But he came, and I preached to him. And every night he raised his hand, he's locked. Well, Thursday I asked him about that. He said, I'm just not ready to get saved. And so in the course of the year, he came back several times. The next year I came to preach a revival meeting. And I preached along during the week. He still wasn't getting ready to get saved. And then I preached on no man can come except the Father which sent me draw him. I said, if God ever withdraws that drawing, you will never, ever want to even be saved. He came to me after the service, and he said, you know, I've been to church a lot. He said, it seemed like when I got there was a pulling, there was a draw. He said, tonight it's like there ain't not even a God. He said, you think God's turned me over? I said, I have no idea. But I said, would you do this? If he ever deals with you again, will you respond and get saved? He said, I will. He came back the next night. He sat right on the front row. I remember preaching that gospel. Gave the invitation, and he jumped in the altar. He started begging God to save him, and he got saved. And he said, God dealt with me one more time. Said, I wasn't going to ever chance it again. And I said, God, if you'll just deal with me and work in that, I'll get saved. And he got saved by the grace of God. Don't you play Russian roulette with your soul. He said, their mind was dark. Then in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. There's a lot of wise fools in this hour. Oh, they got it all figured out, but not according to the word of God. And the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. No God for me. I don't believe in God. God said, you're a fool. He goes on to say, then they began to change the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image like corruptible birds and four-footed beasts, and they began to make their own God. Boy, you look, talk to people today, and they've got their own God of the imagination. Who's your God? Huh? Is it the God of the country music? Oh, man, Jesus, we got our own thing going. We got it all worked out. Don't worry about that. You got your own God like AC/DC, I'm on the highway to hell, I'm on the highway to hell. My friends are going to be there. Don't stop me, they screamed. And Bon Scott recorded that. And that night he went out and got drunk, knowing he had a top song. They found him the next morning on the side of the road, on his back, drowned to death in his own vomit. But he had his own God. Oh, yeah, I'll go to hell, but they'll all be there. What kind of God have you got? You got a God of the Bible? List off all these sins in verse 29. Unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. Sound like they had the internet back then. Disobedient to parents. You mean that's in that same group? Sure is. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. God gives catalogs of these sins, and you want to know what sin is? God said, here's what sin is. It's against me. Unrighteous. That's why you need to be made right, called justified.
Amen.
Then in chapter number 2, you've got the self right. Now he deals with a group that says, oh, yeah, I know. These are wicked bunch. Yeah, they're all going to hell. But me, no, no. I judge them to be bad. I send a bomb over and throw all them Muslims to hell. And come on, let's go get some beer down here at the joint boards and drink about it and talk about it. I'm better than they are. Yeah, I know. I'm bad, but look how bad they are. Like that's going to get you points with God. He talks about the man that justifies himself, self-righteous. That's been a problem from the very beginning. Adam and Eve sinned against God. You know what they did? They headed out to the woods in the darkness of the shade, and they stripped off the leaves off the fig tree, and they made themselves aprons. They started the first dress back. Adam looked at Eve and said, "Whoa, that's a nice dress. I think that covered you up." Yeah, Adam, you look pretty good yourself. Thank God he knows you. And they made self-made garments, and they thought, boy, this will fix what we just lost in our sin. Worked all right till God come walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Adam, where art thou? Here comes Adam out of the woods, hanging his head low. Why did you hide? I was naked. Oh, no, Adam, you're not naked, man. You make people eat garments. You come, you fix your problem. Come on, Adam, let's walk in fellowship like we've always walked in fellowship.
Adam said, I'm naked.
Even though I had on this self-righteous clothing.
In the sight of Almighty God, all your religion, all your self-righteousness is but filthy rags. Went to Bible college with a fellow that was a Jehovah Witness before he got saved. And he said he was out knocking on doors and said this old man was sitting on his front porch. He said he walked up to him and he began to spill out his Jehovah Witness, the 144,000, and we're working our way into the kingdom and all that. He said the old man just looked at him and said, oh, the Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. He said he went on with his spiel and said the man looked at him and said, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And said so the man wouldn't say anything to him except quoting that verse out of Isaiah. He said he left there and it just really pegged him. And he said, what does he mean? All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Got under conviction and realized his self-righteousness wasn't going to do it. I was preaching in Topeka, Kansas a few Sundays ago, the mission church. There was about 10 people there. Everybody dressed up. I mean, they looked nice, had a King James Bible in their lap and all that. And I'm going to preach on John chapter number 3. And as I looked around, I said, man, I'm wasting my time on this. So I turned to Isaiah and I read some scripture there in Isaiah. And while I was reading in Isaiah, going to exhort him about waiting on God, God said, I told you what to preach. I said, yes, sir, Lord. Now, after I read the scripture and prayed, I said, now turn to John chapter number 3. And so I preached on John chapter number 3. You must be born again. I got to that place where Jesus made it real clear. He said, Nicodemus, the only way you can be born again is as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nicodemus knew that story. They lifted up that serpent, and it was looking. It wasn't religion. It wasn't working. It wasn't getting baptized. It wasn't an anti-snake bite serum that man made. It was simply by faith looking to the remedy that God gave.
Amen.
Gave the invitation. This little boy came down the aisle, preacher. He'd been coming a while. Preacher talked to him, said, what do you need? He said, I got to get saved. He said, you got to get saved? He said, yeah. He said, I've tried religion, every form of it. He said, none of it's helped me. But what I heard this morning, I've never looked away from myself and looked to Jesus. Mm-hmm. That old boy started weeping and crying, and he looked to the Lord, and the Lord saved him by the grace of God.
Amen.
He grew up as a Jehovah Witness, married a Catholic, got into that for a while, went back to the JWs, but he couldn't have that peace in his mind because religion cannot give you peace. It's always something else. Religion is like that old donkey pulling that wagon, and you've got that stick out in front of him with that carrot dangling there, and you always reach it. You're just trying your best, but you never do get peace down deep in your heart. And know that you're saved and you're ready to meet the Lord. It just cannot and will not come by religious self-righteous work. Therefore, being justified. Well, how do we get justified? Turn to Romans chapter number 3. It's not by the law. Because we know that what things of the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world become guilty. You know what that law shows you? That law shows you and me. You're a guilty sinner. And you've broken every aspect of it. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, how is it that God can look on me and declare me righteous then? Here it is. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. The Lord said, if you will repent of your sins, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. I know you convicted me. I'm caught. Lord, I want to look to Jesus as my Savior, as my sacrifice. I want to trust Him with all my heart. He said, even the righteousness of God comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiate means to appease the wrath of God. Romans 3 told us they're under the wrath of God. Well, how can that wrath be satisfied? By faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, who bled and died throughout the Bible. God taught substitutionary sacrifice. The lamb would take the place of the sinner, and there would be a substitute from the Passover on. God said there has to be a substitute, teaching us that Jesus Christ would come and die on the cross, and he would be our substitute. And by faith in him, he is the one that was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. What I deserved fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, now all you've got to do is trust me. Cling to me. Call on me. Believe in me. Seek me. I will impart my righteousness to you. And I'll wash away your sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't know all this the night I got saved. All I knew was I was on my road to hell. I didn't get saved. I got on my knees and I cried, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God was merciful to me. I'm saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
I didn't know that word mercy is the same as the mercy seat. Propitiation is the same as the word. And it means that God has the blood there to take the judgment of your sin and the wrath that you deserve and I deserve. And by faith in him, he will wash you in the blood and save you by the grace of God.
When you understand that and you call on him, whosoever shall call on him, you have to call on him. You've got to ask him.
You've got to seek him and beg him to save you. And he'll save you. When you do, you know what's going to happen? Our text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus is not just another article of furniture church that we look at. He's the center of our hope.
Amen.
He's the center of our salvation. He is all and all.
Amen.
Would you trust him today? Would you call on him today? Would you look to him today? Or will you chance falling under the wrath of God for all eternity? Luke 16, the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. He rejected the message that I just told you, and the wrath of God fell on him forever. Won't you get saved today? What you call on today? Let's bow our heads and heart. I want our singers to make their way up. I'll have you, brethren, to sing a number of invitations for us today. You're here lost without God. You're among people that love you. Every one of us had to swallow our pride that are saved. Call on the Lord and ask him to save us. This morning, why don't you do? The devil will never give you peace. He'll never give you a full satisfaction of heart. But Jesus Christ will. If you'll call on him, let's stand all over the house. Well, Tom, I want you to come here to the front, sir.
I spoke
to you. You want to come? You come on, slip out. Where are you right now?
Save me, 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 save me,
But be a believer, you won't just come pray. If you got somebody on your heart, they might be here, they might not be here. Oh God, you sort of started there. I really need to get down there to some pray for them. Come into this meeting, sign from heaven, she'll bring four sons of all. We care, God. Won't you step out, lead the way, it's okay. Thank God, it's okay. You know, we all the opportunities I have to prove that God is safe. Back on God. Our home was miserable. He was miserable. I think forget that Sunday when he broke down and got that all the time out of God. Our whole home changed in the turmoil and became a place of peace. Therefore, be justified by faith. We have peace with God. God spoke to you. Look up. Come on. Stick to the Lord's face. Lay away there. Stand up. Come on. Let's go.
God shows us and teaches us that we have all the time in the world. Something doesn't go right, we'll get something else to do. We absolutely do not come to the Lord. For whatever reason you've determined, and you know, I'm not comfortable coming up in front of the crowd. Understand that. I'm not comfortable talking in front of the crowd. There'll be men here, ladies here, you can speak to on the side. There's all on the side and say, hey, I need to know more about what you're saying. I need to know that righteousness. I've got something lacking. You can tell you're lacking. Anybody around you can tell you're lacking, by the way. But don't turn him away. Trust him this very day.
Amen.
Because you will not believe what change is if you have it. Appreciate that, Brother Randy. You will be dismissed in a word of prayer here. Now, those that are sticking around, I pray all are. Just go down the stairs, walk this length of the building, and sit down in there. Don't start eating. Don't jump up to the dessert tray, and don't go after Sister Lathan's sweet tea. Let the ladies get things prepared and some dessert sliced up and things like that. Get everything set up. We'll be just a few minutes before we get started, but don't welcome and want all of you to stick around. And like I say, while you're enjoying the physical food, think about the spiritual food that we just had given to us. Don't hesitate to speak to somebody as the Lord is moving into your heart. It'll be the greatest meal you ever had. The greatest day you ever had. Turn you from hell into heaven. So, I don't believe in hell. Well, God does. And you ain't going to win that argument.
But
let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray those hearts and lives, Lord, that we would submit to you, Lord. And this flesh despises submission, Lord. But Father, we need that. We need that to get born again, and we need that as born again believers to continue to live and do what we're supposed to do. Father, I pray that those of us who know you as in free pardon of sin don't be a hindrance to those who don't know about salvation. Lord, get us back to where we're supposed to be. We're in a revival series and services here, Lord, and I pray that we would revive ourselves and get back to where we should be. And Father, in doing so, we may be influencing somebody else in our families or in our lives. And Father, I pray that if there be someone in here and that there are people in here that don't know you in the free pardon of sin, Lord, don't let them leave this building. May, Lord, just make them miserable till they understand and realize their need of salvation. Lord, I pray you put them under such a burden. Not because we want things bad to happen, because we want things good to happen to them, and getting saved is the goodest thing that can happen to them. Father, I pray that you just be magnified and glorified in all that we say and do. In Christ's dear, precious name, we pray.
Thank you. Amen.
Which Lord, maybe.